Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us on the launch week of Destiny 2. Here in the studio, we have CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
Sean Finnegan.
Hello.
I'm your host, Destin Legarry. We're going to get into a lot of stuff. We're going to keep the front half of the show spoiler-free. The back half will have spoilers. But first, before we get into that, let's hear from our sponsor.
Hey guys, in celebration of the recent console release of Destiny 2, IGN has teamed up with Turtle Beach to give you a chance to win a Stealth 600 for either the Xbox One or PlayStation 4. Just head on over to go.ign.com/fireteamgiveaway to enter. Good luck, Guardians.
Wow.
For now, back to you guys.
Really good. Thanks, Naomi. So, on the front half of the show, we're going to talk about non-spoilery stuff so you can keep listening. We're going to talk about adventures, side quests, some PvP strikes, stuff like that that you can experience fairly early in the game. Then on the back half, we'll talk about the campaign, and we're going to get into spoiler town.
And like general reactions, right? Not like how to do everything or anything like that.
Yeah, for that, you can tune into twitch.tv/thedestinychannel.
There it is.
I got a 275 Titan. I'm playing many
How
hours.
Long have you been playing?
I did the math. 40 plus hours.
I mean, wow. You know, it's been good. And this, don't take this the wrong way. You do kind of look terrible.
Oh,
I mean,
there's only
I felt
one
the
way
same
to take
way.
It, CJ. Yeah.
No, it's just it's that look of where you're like your eyes are begging. You're like, dear God, help me. What
How many
time is it?
Destiny 2 players this week look like
that's
that.
Deal the same you're way. You're saying off there. I popped into Destin's stream at around 4 in the morning, like yesterday, and you looked like you looked miserable. Not because of the game, just because
the grind's back.
The grind, yeah.
The grind is
when
back.
When you tuned in, I was like, "Hey, Sean."
Yeah, I was the only one talking in his chat room, and I typed a joke. 5 minutes later, he reads
responds.
It, and he goes,
here.
No, he didn't even, he goes, oh. 5 minutes later, oh, that was Finnegan who said that. Finnegan, hey, what's up? And I was like, Jesus, Destin. Well,
and that's what I was worried about. I said, like, you know, reviewing the game is different than playing. Like, it's crazy how many hours.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth touching. How is the review going for you? You have a review in progress score, right?
We scored it. I actually have an update coming out today. I'm pretty critical in the newest update that should be out by end of day Friday. Yeah. I don't want to get into spoiler territory. Because,
what's your current review? And you can't say the score because it's changing on the way to
IC. Flux,
but what score range are you in currently?
In the eights.
Yeah, there you go.
In the eights. There we go.
So check out the review for the latest score.
For audience members out there who aren't just kind of savvy about how a review process works, with big game releases like this where stuff is being tested in the field and being released after the game is launched, we do what's called a review in progress that allows us to kind of move the score around based on how things happen live.
Yep. And I may have written about 5,000 words about Destiny 2.
Yeah, but we still got to play the raid. It's launch weekend. There's more to experience.
Definitely. Yeah. No Xur. They released the roadmap.
Right.
Let's talk about that. We're not getting Xur this week. We're getting Xur next week.
Yep.
Guided games are not in the launch product of Destiny 2. Mm. That's actually coming in beta form for the Nightfall.
And as of recording, like just a couple minutes ago, Bungie tweeted out, like, clan stuff is live. You have to log out and log back in. So we have that at launch.
So when you log in today, you should see that your clan progress is actually being tracked. So if you want to be in the IGN clan, come play with me. And
I didn't understand. Do you have to get to level 20 for more clan stuff to activate, or that was just because it was offline?
No, it was just
until
offline.
Now.
Yeah, okay. I think it was because it was offline. You get a quest from Hawthorne at later, I believe.
And also, Trials is not elimination.
Yeah,
it's survival
and
countdown.
Yeah. So
big change.
Kind of a mixed feelings about the roadmap. Yeah. There's also a bunch of quest bugs that were addressed. Like, there's a particular quest where if your inventory is full, you just straight up don't get the drop. So, and that's been brutal for some players. I was playing playing with Stan last night, and he's like, yeah, I totally didn't get it. I'm very mad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did have one quest bug out on me, but by and large, the PvE has been like on point for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had any PvE bugs that I know, but I've just gotten to the end game after level 20 there. So
yeah.
I was going to comment on Xur really fast. I actually have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of like, I just got my first exotic Engram and like going to take that. And the last thing I want is everybody just buying what I just got as part of the RNG. So I think there's a strategy to that. I think there's also an anticipation of the raid and like you want those drops.
Yeah.
And so basically you've got all that opportunity through next weekend to have some fun there, right?
Did you turn in your exotic Engram?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Got
if you haven't, hold on to it until you do your quest, everybody.
I gotta start a new character, I guess. Yeah. Oops.
No, you'll get all this. You'll get all this. They drop in the wild from public events. Let's talk about the world experience. So there's quests. I absolutely love the quest experience. They are narrative driven, and you get to learn more about the characters that you've met at each destination. Those were actually a pleasure to play through, and it was really neat getting to explore new areas and learn more there. Adventures, I didn't really do them because you're so high light level by the time – well, at least I was by the time they unlocked that. I didn't have a lot of reason to.
Actually, I haven't
they have some interesting mechanics, though. They're fun to go back to.
Adventures?
Like, they're not too challenging if you've kind of gone through the whole campaign and done the little – like the little bit of the grind to get raid ready. But they're still fun.
I've played them. I played them in for our IGN first. I played a few during my review process to just try them out. And I was kind of like, all right, like the rewards are like a token. You know, so the rewards in there, it's less – you're less incentivized to do them. But you do get a little bit of narrative.
They're not always – you are getting upgrade points as well. And so you're getting some reward by doing it. But yeah, they're definitely an aside. Where do you get quests from actually? I don't – I might have one sitting
there
now.
They're the blue markers
the game,
on each destination. It's like a little flag and it's blue. There's one on –
they don't appear until some point in time.
After the campaign.
Yeah, I just finished that last night.
Sometimes you have to talk to an NPC and then they'll activate it for you and it'll appear on
you. But it's end game content. It's after level 20 or whatever.
I highly recommend you do it after you've beaten the campaign.
Gotcha.
And when you're highlight level.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it beneficial to kind of wait and grind to a higher level? Is that pretty much the best way to do it? Like, I've been doing a lot of public events to get a bunch of stuff to get the higher level.
So if you want me to go through the process, probably grind to 20, you can do that via playing through the campaign. Yeah. You're going to hit that wall of
15.
Mostly
do a campaign, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to hit that wall where like you have to be level 15 to finish the campaign, basically. And then you can go ahead and hit 15 or you can keep going to 20. Best way to do that is public events.
Yep.
We know how to trigger all the heroic modifiers now. I figured out the Taken one. You actually step into the Blight and step out and shoot the big one.
Yeah.
And then the Drill one, there's three vents. There's one in the top, one in the middle, and one right on the very bottom.
The spoilers?
Middle of the drill. No,
it's just I don't know. It's heroic.
Yeah. It's how to trigger heroic
mode. They are little puzzles, but most that's people know. Like, you're going to see people doing them
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best is when you're first playing it and you have no idea and, like, there's a bunch of guys. You're like, no, don't shoot that.
Yeah. Don't shoot the glamour thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dustin, you've played so much. I think it is worth knowing right now. So you grind to 20, well, not grind, but you play the campaign. Yeah. To 20 basically.
Yeah.
Then you had a couple tips on how do you get to like 270 something and like what's the best way? What should you hold on to and what, you know, what's the best strat right
so
now?
So finish the campaign. Definitely start doing a lot of public events.
Oh, still more.
After you finish the campaign, do all of your quests for the legendaries. Those legendaries will get you up there. Try and hold off on your powerful stuff until you're like, I don't know, where are you at, CJ?
I'm like at 240.
Yeah, so right about there, you can start doing the powerful
when
engrams.
You say powerful, it says powerful reward.
Yeah,
right?
So like your flashpoint. Finish out your flashpoint quest at about that point, and then go get your reward there.
And hold on to exotic engrams until...
Well, exotics, they drop at whatever light level you're at. So if you
they're predestined.
You should just hold on to one of them for a thing that you'll address later. And hold on to your blue scouts, everybody. So,
yeah. He's got these mysterious tips. Hold on to an exotic Engram, even though the light is actually predestined now. Like, it's not going to change.
If you get an exotic Engram in the wild, or you get the one from Zavala, just hold on to it for a little bit.
And hold on.
And then go do all the quests at your destinations after you beat the campaign.
Good tip. Gotcha. Yeah. I appreciate that.
So, trying to give you tips without spoiling you.
Yeah. Do we want to go into general impressions?
General impressions. So, let's do it.
Yeah.
I guess you can read my review in progress, but I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I like the campaign quite a bit. Like, it's a huge step forward compared to to Destiny 1. Yeah. We'll talk about a little bit more of that in a little bit. I'll let you guys talk a little more, though.
Yeah. So campaign impressions, It's kind of hard to do this now because I want to say.
Okay, just overall then.
Overall, really positive. I think the campaign for me, that was what I was waiting for. I thought it delivered. PvP still playing and just figuring it out. I'm glad the whole meta figuring things out is back. That's cool.
Yeah. Fran?
I'm going to let Sean go first.
All right.
I really, really like the campaign and basically the PvE aspects of this game. I think they nailed it. There's so much to do after you hit the the level cap. I don't feel bored. I don't feel like the grind is very grindy. As far as the storytelling goes, I thought it was super cool, man. Like, it feels very cinematic. The music is the end.
Oh my goodness. The sound design is
brilliant.
At least twice or three times a mission, I'm like, this music, man. Yeah. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, music composition by Salvatore, as well as the sound design.
Yeah. Guy.
There's a few missions, either quest or campaign missions, where I literally just stop. I'm like, wow.
It's very good. And, like, one of the things that stands out to me is that, I mean, obviously, Bungie is the studio that created Halo, but very specifically to me, it has this ODST feel to it, where like
it's more dramatic.
Yeah, especially and
he worked on the music for Reach, right?
Yeah.
So
like it just has this very somber, melancholy kind of like downtrodden feel there early in the game when you know, not a spoiler, but after the city falls and the campaign really picks up, that just feels like, you know, you're in this. You're in this like occupied city. You're the only one there. You don't know what has happened or who's alive. Yeah. It's really downtrodden and like very like somber. And I love the feel of it. It just feels like it feels unique to Destiny. Mm-hmm. Like nothing like that has ever been really done before in this lore. And I love that.
I know you have a criticism though. Do you want to bring that up now?
Which one?
EVP.
Yeah, I mean, as part of the general impressions, I don't think PvP has nailed it for me yet. Yeah. I kind of find it to be lacking in a lot of respects. This is coming from someone who wanted and kind of knew on one level that I wasn't going to get what I wanted, but I wanted Destiny to be very competitive, catered towards the hardcore, with things like MMR and like class divisions and like, basically non-obscured stats, like that's what I wanted. I knew I wasn't going to get that.
Yeah, you played the beta, so maybe be specific to that. What did you expect versus that? Was it much of a surprise, or you just expected?
No,
hopefully there's more.
It wasn't a surprise, but I was hoping that there'd be more.
Okay, so it's
like,
not,
for
Destiny 1 to have such a robust set of options in their PvP by the end of the life cycle, and then to come to this where it's reduced to quick play or competitive, and competitive is two modes, and quick play is what?
I imagine,
and you don't get to pick. You don't get to pick what you end up.
I imagine that'll get built out.
Yeah,
but also just like I don't know.
So.
I wanted the game to become more gun skill like.
Yeah,
and it has, but it seems like they made it more gun skill wise. They raised the skill cap, but then at the same time obscured what that skill cap is.
Sean, let's come back to PvP so Fran can get his thoughts in on the overall impression.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where I wanted to start with this and not take up a ton of time because we do have limited time. So overall, absolutely delivered. I mean, it's the Destiny that I still love.
Yeah.
And so it's an expansive, like beautiful world. The craft is there. I think we take it for granted. The art design is so good in the first Destiny.
100%.
And when you come to this, there's so many little touches. And I think if you put it side by side with other shooters out there, you know, the 30 frames thing, I think there's some warrants to that. I mean, I don't want to crack open that nut again, but
the
really,
PC beta right before this, it's kind
of course
you recognize
it's not that those higher frame rates aren't incredible, but the art design they're doing in this world and the little touches, really amazing. I loved experiencing it. Of course, there's always all these little things throughout that I would, you know, say, oh, I would change that, I'd do that differently. But the biggest thing for me with the campaign. Yeah, well, it's fine.
Standard Fran, it's fine. You guys did okay. We will, you did all right.
We will get into those things later, but overall, you know, I went into this thinking, oh, it's a little more Halo-esque with the campaign. It's going to be more about, I'm going to enjoy this beautiful world. And so I started to do that, really was enjoying it. I was streaming at the same time I did it, but then I got to a point where the waves of enemies start to come. The level starts to change. And I'm like, this is actually, it went from kind of a tighter, I can play this solo, to actually it's a casual co-op shooter. The waves of enemies start to come. The bosses get more strike-like, I thought. Mm-hmm. And so it's this beautiful world that suddenly opens up more with these waves of enemies. And I think that is actually one of the biggest things to think about when you play Destiny 2. It's like, if you want casual co-op, I think like that's awesome. Like CJ, you playing with maybe your son and like someone else, like to do an entire campaign like that, actually really cool.
Yes.
And there's this other side of it for me that I was like, I kind of wanted to enjoy this like explosive, narrow, epic campaign. And then it didn't quite do that towards the end. I mean, it's explosive, but it required honestly playing with other people. The bullet sponge thing came back to higher. Each enemy started taking more damage. So your supers took more time and, you know, we can go down that road more later, but, really enjoyed it though. So I don't want people to not think that like rate versus the first Destiny is awesome.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why you're seeing higher scores from Destin here as well.
And the cinematics too. The cinematics are just beautiful.
And some really beautiful
dialogue and the story moments. Yeah. They're just.
And the music constantly, like music and sound, like even like little gun sounds, like everybody was talking about the graviton pulse you get, awesome. On the third bullet, it opens up like this black hole sound. And one last note on sound, because I do love sound. If you guys haven't heard it, I'm almost certain I was sitting there on the farm and all of a sudden the chorus, the monk chorus throwback to Halo is in there. It's not Halo, but I'm quite sure it's there.
Something similar.
It could be coincidence because Salvatore.
Or you're losing your mind.
Salvatore worked with O'Donnell on stuff. But anyway, as you can see, I'm definitely excited and really enjoyed it so far.
Yeah, so I definitely enjoyed building my first character and fleshing out how he looked and felt and played and getting the armor sets, getting the gear. It's when I rolled the second character that I started seeing the chinks of the end game stuff where it's just kind of like, all right, I got to a point with my first character where literally I had done every single thing. And my map was clean, well, except for the adventures, which weren't really incentivized for me to do. So, yeah, I was just kind of left wondering, like, what's next? And that was at about the 20-hour mark.
Yeah.
So I rolled another Titan so that I can be raid ready, you know, and I can quickly dump all my gear on there. But there is a gear system, CJ, you're going to put that to the test on your second character.
I mean, I don't want to, like, I love Hunter. I will always love Hunter. I cannot use Hunter in PvP.
And Titan's very
PvP.
And kills me in PvP.
Fine PvE.
They crush in PvE. Yeah. No, I still have him and I'm still doing
He's not dead. He's okay.
I didn't kill him. I didn't like click the delete button. But no, Titan is, and I played a, you know, probably a dozen matches in PvP as a Titan and I wreck. So it's just, you know, Arc Strider in PvE is great. It's so good.
Balance to be done.
Well, not balance. It's just, there's just movement mechanics. There's bridging the gap. There's all these things that were from the beta and I can't. I got to figure it out.
You don't seem like, you don't seem like you have hope.
No,
for the Hunter.
I don't.
I feel like they're going to make some changes.
It hurts. Obviously, it needs to be buffed. And it kills me to even say it out loud that I just started a Titan and was wrecking last night. At 2 in the morning, I was like, yeah, this feels amazing.
The traversal mechanics with the Titan, because he has that shoulder dash, make him so fast and versatile. I rolled a Titan for my main character, and I'm really digging it. It was the one I didn't really play in the beta. Or, like, I did a Warlock, and I did a Hunter, but I never ran a Titan, so I ran a Titan for my run-through.
And I'm looking in the mirror, and that's the problem. Like, I look at myself,
good,
I'm like, I'm a Hunter, and then I just see a Titan, I'm like, I want that.
Titan main here, I can confirm. Titan's very strong, very versatile. The new Sentinel class is
really good.
So good. Like, everything you want, you have in there. You have a shoulder charge, you have, like, when the super's active, a defensive shield, a ranged throwing shield,
dial,
a charge. Like, it's everything you want. It's so good.
It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts. Yeah, I kept doing that in the stream. Destin, I'll save you. And then I would just twirl out of the way.
Yeah, like, I remember I was like, oh, yeah, I can hurl the shield when I had a super for the first time, and I hurled it, and it, like, bounced and killed, like, five enemies. And I was like, that's great. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then I found out later on when you get an upgrade point, you can spec another shield, so you have two you can throw.
And then you can get an exotic arm that gives you more shield.
Oh, yeah. I have the exotic arms that, like, improves your shield abilities. Oh, it's so good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe just to finish off your thought there, Destin, as you get to the end game, it sounds like there's some – like, what is it? Is it concern that it's too much of what the same or there's not enough to do? I'm not quite reading you on
that part. Well, there's a lot of things that I've realized. Playing with other players, for example, it's three-player co-op for fire teams. Then if you want to jump into PvP, it's four, so you got to find that fourth. Mm-hmm. You kind of constantly have this one player that's nebulous. And then you hop back to your Nightfall, it's three players. You know, that's one small thing. The gear game – at the end gets a little weird, especially with exotics and how they have legendary mods equipped. We didn't even talk about Shadergate. 2017.
I don't even understand it yet.
I hope we don't spend too much time on it. I mean, I get it, but it's like the game is so good. Like, I gotta be honest. It feels a little bit like it's a change. Like, Destiny 1 is gone. If Destiny 1 wasn't that,
that's not what it's
would not be upset.
You should
that's
cover
not
it really
what it's
fast.
A, that's not what it's about, TJ. The issue is if you earn shaders from a vendor or yes. whatever, you equip them and then you just it's gone, so you can't.
Well, they're a consumable. Like, I understand.
A one-time
consumable. I get it. What yeah. I'm saying is and it gives you the option of like being able to spec your armor differently, and then at the end of the day, you get tons of them by playing the game.
But it's not clear how you get the ones that you want. There's no path to get
not
those.
Yet. We're on like day three of the game.
Mm-hmm. No, but that's everyone's that problem. Should, is should like be they're comparing what is now the case for shaders in Destiny 2 versus what it was in Destiny 1.
That's
like,
my argument.
Yeah.
So that's the main issue. We do have to move on to campaign. Sorry, Sean, to cut you off.
I was going to read what Luke Smith had said on Twitter, but make sure to go read it. Tried to basically say this was a choice and you get a ton of these consumables was kind of what he was saying.
Yeah. Not the ones I want apparently.
So, but let's see and I agree with, that's why your comment on the Hunter, I think it's the same feedback, CJ. Yeah, it's been 3 days.
Yeah. Wait.
So let's see what, like, we're all super fans. So I wouldn't be too super quick to judge, but the shader gate is real.
Yeah.
So get out there and check it out.
One Reddit user said, you know what I call rerunning a raid to get a shader? Not worth my time. like people are very salty about this. And I didn't understand at first, but I do now. I kind
that of is the concept, though, that you get this awesome shade raider from shader from the raid. Yeah. That's the concept.
The raider.
But once you use it, you will run out. Now, how many drops?
If I want to change my gear, I just can't. So I'm just. Stuck
but you don't
with
know
gear.
If you get 10 of them, though.
Yeah,
and
it comes
but
down
I get
to how many,
it. I do
how
get
easy
it.
They are.
Based
get.
On the campaign, you get like 2.
Yeah,
at least it's not locked. At least it's not locked behind a paywall. Like you get it from playing the game.
Although,
we had that issue.
That is, that's the second half of the problem. Is that you can buy them from Eververse.
Well, and that I understand. It's the same thing with Pop-Tarts and the Sparrows. And
it just goes back to this whole like you can earn them, but you feel coerced to buy them.
Let's see how the next week goes. Yeah,
we'll talk more about that as we figure out how to earn.
Real quick, speaking of salty, I got that. Exotic emote, the salty one.
Good. Oh, nice.
That good. So good.
I really want to talk about campaign with you guys. So we're going into spoiler territory. Spoilers.
Time to leave.
Turn it off.
Spoilers. That's it for this.
Yeah.
Guardians, get out.
Yeah.
Just this one time.
So let me say, we're going right into it. Right now. All right, here we go. Spoiler town, as I call it, at the end of the game, the tower. When you go back, that social space is so big.
Awesome.
There's so much to do there.
So I remember like it's the ending cinematic. It's like all the Vanguard and then your Guardian walks up and I'm like, oh cool. They're near the tower. How nice.
I heard Duggan brought you there before you beat the campaign.
Almost. And then you spawn in there and you're like, whoa, wait, what? Which is great because here's the thing. Not a big fan of the farm.
Yeah.
Didn't think it was that cool. Yeah. I was like, I really hope I'm not spending most of my time.
But the fact that they built that social space to kind of just like have your brain deterred, like I had no idea.
Yeah.
And yes,
yeah.
Duggan almost spoiled it for me.
We did a feature on it. New social space.
Yes.
IGN first, the farm.
Yeah. It's like, this is what you're going to do. And I said, go to the vault. I wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. He came back out and I was like, where are you? And I was like, oh, this is not the farm. And I didn't know. I thought it was some weird shit public space, but.
Yeah.
Landing on the, you know, the tower for the first time, that moment after beat the game, that was, I did shed like a childlike tear. It was a very good moment. And as a Destiny fan, huge fan service moment.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was fan service was what I was going to say. Yes. I was like, I don't think anybody else will get why this is so cool.
There's a bunch
and
of Easter
it's going
eggs.
To be confusing that your farm disappeared and it's now in the EDZ,
the farm,
by the way.
Yeah.
Up in the
it.
Upper right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it's really cool though.
Let's talk about the campaign, the final boss. That's something I definitely want to address. I thought it was not that great. Go ahead, friend. You had some really great points about it.
Yeah,
I kind of talked about how my final boss moment, I'm like, all right, this epic battle. Finally, I'm going to take down Gaul. And I hide under a bridge and I shoot him in the foot because my Titan super, it's like it was Striker, right? So I can throw a shield at him for like 400 damage, which is nothing. Or I can just slam
Striker
on the ground.
Titan. Sentinel.
Both Sentinel and Striker. Like if I were to switch, I didn't have hammers yet.
Yeah,
spoiler warning.
Well, Titan strats aside.
Yeah, it was just not a fun mechanic.
But you can ride Bumper to charge in the air.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. But he's flying around, so it's just kind of this.
Well, I just shot him. You didn't have to hide under a bridge. Yeah. Just FYI. Yeah. I mean, I didn't. I just shot him. He chased you, and then I shot him.
That interesting of a boss fight.
And it's a bummer because they do so well. Their new strike bosses are fantastic.
They're really good.
I've
only played a few, but I really liked, it was like Pyramidian or something.
Yeah, Pyramidian's really cool boss.
Cool one,
And it kind of takes you on this journey through
Anyway,
yeah, I'm actually just hoping someone can explain to me what was the mechanic, because I clearly missed it. He goes into
super,
these two. So here's
your super.
He comes
out, a warlock.
Yeah, but let me finish. Yeah, he comes out with Dawnblade, and I'm like, oh, that was what got me. I was like, cool. Oh, he stole our powers, and now we got to go up against our powers.
Yeah.
And then he comes down from Dawnblade.
Hold up. It's like the knockoff version of Dawnblade.
Like, yeah, it's the like one meat cleaver blade, whatever.
The poor kid like I would get for Christmas.
But basically he comes a warlock. In the air, with Dawnblade. So I'm like, this is cool. I'm going to have to figure out how to fight myself is what I think the implication is.
I got you
he
a ninja tortoise.
Our light. So I like where it's going. And then he goes into like his Nova fire and is like, right, and he's all in it and comes out. But then he's just like immune and I didn't understand what happened next. Like something was broken. Mm-hmm. Where was the Nova bomb?
Yeah.
There is no Nova Bomb.
There's a Nova Bomb.
He throws one at you?
Yeah.
He never did.
Yeah, he does. Like, yeah.
A Nova Bomb and arc. Okay. That's why I said he's basically a warlock.
It's not a great it's not a great
He probably
counter.
Threw it behind me and he was yelling at me. I just didn't see it.
There's one point, like phase three, he goes in and he's like, ah! I'm like, are you dying?
So it's not like he's like atrocious or anything, but it felt like something was missing.
It's a bummer because the rest of the experience is pretty darn good.
I just didn't feel the puzzle element.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
It doesn't change. Like there's no phases. Most of the time, big boss fights, when you do a lot, you do the first 35% of their life, they're doing one thing, and then you get them down to like that midpoint, and the encounter changes. Yeah. They've gained a new ability, or they change a type, or they do some different thing.
Almost like all the strikes.
Yeah. It's like what you're doing at the very beginning of that fight, you're doing all the way to the end. It doesn't change.
Yeah. Shoot him in the face.
Yeah, we just shot him in the face.
Won.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I needed a puzzle element.
You were Warlock, right?
Yeah.
So did you Dawnblade? Like at least you had a projectile.
Yeah.
That you could
just
regularly
shot him in the
throw.
Face. I was Hunter. I regularly missed my melee in the sky.
Oh no. Yeah, I didn't get the again, am I missing something? When he goes immune, I only played it once, so I'm sorry, I just don't know. Was there something I do when he's immune? That's
not,
just when he's going into
when
his
he's
like
just
little
calling his enemies
kill.
Over and then you got
to
kill.
But that's
like,
not a puzzle to
wave,
get him to come out of that, right? Yeah, really. That's what I was eventually. Thinking there was. So.
Yeah.
And then the other thing for on the Guardian side is like every time he goes into charge, they respawn two super pools, or sometimes it's one, I guess.
Yeah, a couple.
But you can just go in, like when you go to the Shard of the Traveler and you
and activate your
light.
Super.
Yeah, it like gives you your super real fast, then you can go kill stuff.
Definitely. The only other plot point is the way that they just kind of quickly dispose of the main conflict in the narrative, right? So it's Gaul, basically, and his mentor, I can't remember his name, we'll call him Jeffrey. Gaul and his mentor, Jeffrey, and then he just like kills
the city
him.
Is secure.
So,
and that's it. It's just like the end of that conflict.
One thing I kind of found weird was Destiny's cinematics have always been really beautiful and well shot, like designed. The sound design, I did not find to be all that good.
In the cinematics?
Yeah. Hmm. Like, for instance, I didn't know he killed the speaker. Because it didn't seem like he choked him.
No, he didn't choke
he
the speaker.
The other dude, like,
the other guy, like, kills
him. No, but it implies
no
that he did. Yeah.
No sound effect there. When he chokes his buddy, Jeffrey.
Is the speaker dead? I mean, that's the question.
Speaker's dead. You can actually hear narrative in the tower later, and they're like, the tower.
The new speaker, but
I was going to ask that too. Is like, because everything else came back to life. I was like, is the speaker
but
back
But even
to
then,
life?
Like,
no.
yeah, so you didn't
Nothing
really
else
hear
came back
his neck snap or anything. He only chokes him for like 3 seconds, and you don't even hear the like you should hear. But earlier on in that first cinematic in the homecoming mission, when you leave the tower and go up to the ship, and Amanda Holliday's flying through this space battle, and you're hearing her VO, where she's like, come on, big guy, do something. And then an explosion goes off. There's no impact or like depth to that sound. I just felt a little weird because the music is so good. And in the gameplay, the sound design is amazing.
Yeah.
All the guns and explosions sound great. It just seems like the cinematics could have benefited a little bit from that.
I think they told a great story, though.
I
just think on the story itself, if we can comment on that for a second.
Yes.
Like, I really liked the story. It was, as I've been saying since the beginning, it's easier to understand what is going on.
The fact that our complaints are two
–
one is a mechanic-based thing and one is a cinematic point. Those are pretty minor in comparison to the mess that was Destiny 1 story. Like, I had no idea what was happening.
It's a lot more linear. I still feel like they could have, and I'm just going to get like nerdy about it because I'm a film guy, right? Mm. So I always have like, what more could they have done with character and stuff? I felt like Gaul was mostly in that hall the whole time, like talking with the speaker. Like, he didn't really go out and show me why
he didn't go lead his troops.
Evil. Yeah.
Yeah, like you almost would expect there was a mini encounter and you'd see him again.
He just sits there talking with the speaker.
Yeah, from the first time Jeffrey walks in. you're like, oh, this dude's going to try and like, he's going to step over bounds and then, you know, he's going to put him down.
Yeah, you felt that conflict.
I kind of felt, I kind of felt like that wasn't so set up, but Gaul's voice was amazing. And
yes,
his
so
design
good.
Is really cool. So I think if, as he could have been a cool villain.
Maybe we need to talk about what we think is going on, though, with the final light.
So even that
exploding
moment.
Exploding into the edge of the galaxy.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I think that's where, I think that moment of that final cinematic, where all of a sudden
and
the Traveler.
And after the credits.
Yes, but even that. So before we get there,
Wait,
I thought.
No, you gotta watch
the credits.
Did you know,
you gotta watch
the I watched. Oh, so if you skip the credits, you still see that. I
you
did
still
see
saw
that.
Okay,
yeah, going through the galaxy.
And then the pyramid ships, those were in concept art of Destiny 1.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, really?
So there's a lot of speculation like about what that is.
But is that about the raid, do we think? Or
I think
future?
It's the raid.
Or yeah, other I stuff. Think it's the raid.
Yeah.
Before we go there, real quick, I thought there'd be another version of Gaul. Like, once he exploded into that big light thing, let's go. Next battle. Oh, he's dead.
I thought that was going to be another
phase. That would have been phase
That's
two.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, phase
that
two.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Instead, cool the Traveler's ending, like, oh, this ball that hasn't done literally anything since the first Destiny is now going to kill this big boss, dude. Yeah.
So I think it's been, there's been a, whatever the Traveler is, I think it's been healing inside of that egg-like thing the whole time. And now it's like, hey, I'm
It was reborn.
Yeah.
Is the sense I got. It was like a coming out of its shell, you know, an eggshell, basically.
And there's like machinery in there. Yeah. I really wonder what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting to me. Really quick, I just wanted to talk about early parts of the campaign. I didn't literally. I had a mini wig out moment in the campaign mission when you drive the tanks.
Oh, yeah. Those are really fun.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Halo-esque moments.
I was playing with Bodum, shout out to Bodum Reaper and Brian Malkowitz, but we walk into this room, the doors open, and there's three tanks there. And I was like, no way. Do we get to drive those? And you jump in, you're like, oh, my God. They're so
I was really happy
about
it. Really
yeah,
that's a
variation
of the camp.
Yeah,
it
those
gives
are things
me a lot of.
Wanted.
It gives me. I've said it so many times on this show, but it gives me hope for the raid because I always felt like vehicles could be such a great integration to PvE content. Maybe they're going to do that in the raid. Maybe there will be some vehicle-based stuff.
Yeah.
Guys, we could keep talking for a lot longer, but we actually have to wrap it up. Let's give some final thoughts, overall experience. You can read mine, so I'll let CJ speak.
So PvP, I'm really excited to play Trials this weekend. Countdown, I'm not sure about. Like, I love survival. Countdown for Trials, I don't know. Like, when Sean and I were talking, I feel like Elimination will make a return. But it's one of these things, hey, guess what? It's not here yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming back. Wait for it. So, good overall, figuring out the weapon meta. But it's definitely, it's very different. If you are a two-on-one, you're done.
Yeah.
Melted.
Yep, you have to work as a team.
Got to work as a team. Mm-hmm. So Trials will be interesting next week.
What about you, friend?
It is hard to meet your expectations, you know, having played a game for 2,000 hours. And so I think on that merit, there's a lot that we're saying right now that's like, I've played it, you know, so fast, like 10 hours a night sort of thing. Not that much, but 5-6 hours a night. So there's just so much more to see. I really don't want to make too much of a judgment, but I'm definitely of this part of it, the campaign, making it to the tower, and now we're sort of reborn into the end game. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited, really satisfied, but the other 1,990 hours that I have to play is so important. So there's so much for me to figure out there that I want to play a lot more, you know, next week, obviously.
What about you, Sean?
Love the campaign, love the storytelling and the characters and all of that stuff. I'm really, really feeling the PvE aspects of the game right now. A little bit shaky on the PvP, but we're going to see how that all plays out when Trials comes back, when people figure out the meta and stuff. But I do hope that maybe later on we get to see a little bit more in-depth, like, post-game carnage reports the way that I think
it would be great.
A competitive shooter should have.
But on the whole, super excited. Like, if I didn't say that, Destiny 2, back into it, you know,
totally
here we
can
are.
See myself
like,
sinking another 1,000 hours.
Oh, like 100%. Yeah. Like, I am in it for the long haul.
Yeah, 1,990 hours ago. I told
you that. Exactly.
I'm having a blast right now. I don't know how I feel about them kind of throttling the experience where, like, guided games aren't live yet. The fact that we're getting the raid a week out, that's pretty standard. Trials, surprisingly quick.
Yeah.
Actually, but the game type has changed dramatically. It's just kind of something
we
could play
like
at any time.
Months later, right?
Yeah.
I see why now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have Faction Wars at the end of the month. That's really exciting for me. Factions are coming back in some capacity, and we're going to learn more about that soon.
I want more factions this time around, you know?
Yeah. Well, we definitely have three. We can see the three logos.
Seven Seraphs?
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, but overall, I mean, you're feeling good. You like the game.
Yeah, I'm feeling, it's definitely a good game.
He says it's great according to IGN's review scale currently.
Yeah.
Review in progress. So he says it's great.
That's where we're at. And, yeah, you can read more about that on IGN.com. That's it for this episode. We have to wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be streaming more. Fran will be on twitch.tv/FM3_.
Yep.
Right.
That underscore.
I'll be on twitch.tv/Sedescent Channel.
Follow me at Gibson Films as I sit there and fall asleep at 4 a.m.
And Sean, you don't stream, but you troll me on 9.
I do, yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Shot by Finnegan. Although Xbox did have this thing called Mixer recently where you can easily stream from your console. Maybe I will check that out.
Yeah, check out Mixer.
I want to talk to you about that after because I'm interested in the tool.
And Sean, guess what?
What?
I got the exotic PlayStation exclusive right.
Yeah.
He
shot a video of it. He's like, hey, come in here real quick. I want to show you something. Like, check out what I got. Thanks, guys.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I'm really excited to get Borealis next year. Yeah. So
if it makes you feel any better, I really don't like the PlayStation strike. Anyway.
Okay.
We'll talk about
The note to end on.
We'll talk about later. Guys, we need to wrap it up, though. Thank you so much. And thank you for watching. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.